It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Big night tonight with you till 11 o'clock. We're going to take Hillary Clinton's speech from the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia. It's coming up after 8:30. We'll start coverage with some preview, some analysis, some reaction from a panel of guests in studio, Ken Davis, Carol Felsenthal, and Amara Enya. And we'll also have guests joining us from Philadelphia throughout the night. It's going to be a big night. Before we get to that, this week, the Chicago media world was stunned by the news that NBC5 reporter Anthony Ponce resigned. This, of course, caused speculation about a new job, maybe at a rival station. How about that? We were like, oh, this is it. This is Anthony's moment. He's going to announce he's a new Jerry Taft. But Ponce cleared up all the rumors earlier in the week by announcing that he left his job at a TV news reporter to become a Lyft driver. Well, to document conversations while being a Lyft driver, but to drive for Lyft. It's a new podcast. Anthony Ponce is launching this fall, and he joins me now on the line. Anthony, good to talk to you. How you doing?
Good to talk to you, too. It's been a while.
It has. But that's because you've been working. You've been working the newscasts all the time. I never get to see you.
So have you. We actually work very close by. I'm not far away at NBC Tower. But, yeah, I've been doing that gig for 9 years. So it feels weird. You know, I heard you kind of previewing all your Hillary Clinton coverage, and I was just thinking to myself, wow, I'm not in that world so much anymore.
I thought that would be the reason why you got out of it. You're like, oh, gosh, feels so good. I don't have to cover Lollapalooza tonight.
Oh, man. You know what? Those repetitive stories, Justin, where, you know, you actually ask any street reporter in the city of Chicago, every year they pray they don't get assigned to a Lollapalooza story or a Taste of Chicago story. Everyone thinks, oh, it'll be fun, you know? Lollapalooza's great. Taste of Chicago is great, but no. When you're in a suit and you're carrying around gear and you need to talk to people and people are drunk and no, it's not fun.
All right, let's talk about this. So earlier in the week, it was announced or late last week, that you were leaving NBC5. You're resigning. Talk about this because you know when this came out, there were a lot of rumors saying, oh, he's taking another job or he's miffed because he was passed up for a promotion. Yep. Talk about the decision to resign.
Well, miffed. Yeah, that's actually kind of accurate. I was miffed, but the thing is, it had been happening for a while, so I wasn't surprised at all that I was passed over. They kind of made it clear to me that they didn't, you know, they didn't see me in a bigger role there. So, of course, naturally, you're going to think about an exit plan. And so I don't know, man. I don't know if it's like, I'm not sure if I'm the only one, but who's, you know, when you're not fully satisfied in a job and you're outside and you see those Uber and Lyft cars go by, I always thought to myself, you know, that wouldn't be so bad. You could just drive on your own time, make a little extra cash while you figure out your next move. So when I officially, when Stephen Holt got promoted, and he got a pretty sweet anchor gig in New York, that was like, okay, if this doesn't happen now, if I don't get promoted now that there's kind of an opening Monday through Friday on that morning slot, if it doesn't happen now, it's not going to happen ever. So it didn't happen, and then it was like a lightning bolt. Like the idea, Justin, just kind of hit me right then. I was like, I could combine the Lyft or Uber driving with the journalism and the storytelling because, you know, I've always loved great conversations with even strangers. You know, it's without a 25-30 pound camera over my camera crew's shoulder, you know, which is very invasive. And what I found, so I brought the idea up to a couple of friends. And my one friend, Cyrus, was like, all right, that's a cool idea, but just sign up for it. Sign up for Lyft or Uber. Drive a few times. Drive a few shifts and see if it is what you think it is. And see if people talk to you. And turns out they did. Almost everyone has been really open, especially when I tell them I've got these signs up in the back of my car that say, I'm doing this for a podcast. It's got a bunch of pictures of me with like the NBC5 microphone and like sitting on the anchor desk to give me a little street cred as a journalist. Mm-hmm. And once people read, there's a little like blurb like about your driver. Once people read, that I'm doing a podcast, and if you're willing to answer three questions, you may find yourself on a future episode of Backseat Rider. That's the name of the podcast, Backseat Rider. A lot of people, you know, they get curious, and they're like, all right, what are these three questions? I'll take a shot at that. So I'm like, all right, you mind if I start recording? And I just push record, and we just do the ride. I take them to where they're going, and then I pick themes that I talk about each, or that I ask the passengers about each week. And
what are you talking about? I mean, is it more sort of existential? Is it light? Is it what's your favorite color? What are you asking riders when they get in the Lyft?
Great question. It's a total variety. So, for example, after the Orlando shooting, that was what everyone was talking about. No one was really talking about anything different. And I happened to be in the same car as a man who told me he was the owner of an AR-15 rifle. And so I remember every time one of these mass shootings happens, and it's unfortunate how often we have to talk about them, but the debate comes up about assault weapons, right? And so since that was what was on everyone's mind that week, that's what we wound up talking about. And it was enlightening because in local news, I'm used to like 10-second sound bites from the man on the street, or, you know, shouting matches over Facebook comments and tweets. Nobody really listens, and everyone just kind of shouts and thinks and sees like these little headlines and 10-second sound bites. So here I am, 25-30-minute conversation with the owner of an AR-15 rifle. And I'll tell you this, he was a reasonable, thoughtful guy, and he was not a fanatic. And I'm on the other side of the gun debate. You know what I mean? I have never understood why assault style rifles are legal. I'm in favor of the so-called common sense gun laws. I can speak freely now that I don't have a
you don't have a mic flag in your
the peacock logo next to me. And so it was enlightening for me not only to hear that perspective, but to hear it in such an intimate environment for 25-30 minutes, where it wasn't just like, okay, I got my sound bite, I know how he feels, that's what I'm going to leave with and put in my story. It was, no, these are nuanced issues that need to be debated in a civil way. That's the only way that we're going to make progress, is if we start aggressively listening to one another. And so that is a conversation that I'm actually kind of excited about airing, perhaps just raw, because we, you know, again, it's, I'm not the most informed when it comes to the gun issue, but,
but you learned,
you know,
something.
But I know a lot. I know a lot. I don't know everything. I know a lot. And he wasn't the, you know, and he's on the other side of it. He might not have been the most prepared, but it was a really natural, candid discussion between two pretty smart, you know, I would like to, you know, pretty reasonably smart, like thoughtful people talking about it.
And let me ask
you. We weren't yelling or anything, but okay. Going back to your original question though. So that was a topical thing. But like, I've asked some more outlandish stuff. One week I chose to ask everybody, all right, have you ever experienced anything that you would consider the supernatural? And if so, what was the story behind that? And I got some interesting responses to that. You know, not everyone buys into that stuff,
right?
But a lot of people do, man. A lot of people do.
That's a normal Lyft. That's a normal taxi or rideshare conversation. Doesn't need to be recorded.
You know what I mean?
Right?
Exactly. And so I want my show to have a lot of range like that. You know.
So you're working for a media company, and this is where people will maybe why there's shock involved. Working for a media company, pulling down a paycheck to do that.
Yeah.
A lot of times, you know, you'll take projects to the media company and say, hey, I'd love to try this out with you. You know, are you interested in this product? You know, as opposed to outright quitting a job and being able to do this, which, you know, I mean, I'm assuming you're just making money off of for now, off of what you get for driving the fare. Yeah.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
I mean, why not try to, you know, take your clout from being inside the media and try to sell it to a media property?
That's a great question. And to be honest, I did pitch a podcast concept to NBC, and previously it was a different model. But I kind of got crickets, kind of heard crickets back. Mm-hmm. And I thought that once kind of the writing was on the wall, Justin, that you know, they didn't see me in a bigger role at the station. I thought there'd be a lot more freedom and just a lot more authenticity if I went out on my own and just made my own brand. That was my thinking, because, you know, when I did get my suit on, put the makeup on and put my IFB in my ear and sat down at the anchor desk, it's a very scripted environment. You know, I always kind of referred to myself as, all right, Captain Vanilla. That's who I am now. You know, that's kind of how it is. Yeah. You know, WGN, for example, they let loose a little bit. On their morning show.
Right,
their personality is really, that's where my bro is at. And I feel like people really connect with that. And maybe I didn't really thrive in how scripted everything was. And the other thing that I felt kind of constraining in terms of creativity is that the stories I did when I reported, they're short. You know, there's time constraints in local news, which is just the nature of the business.
Right.
And so most of the stories that I did were about 90 seconds long. And a lot of the topics that I reported on are very complex topics. And so to tell a story in 90 seconds, that's kind of warrants a little longer discussion. Got to be frustrating after a while.
Is that the takeaway here, Anthony? That, I mean, for you, you know, as we talk about the future of local news, any sort of broadcast, whether it's a morning show or a 10 o'clock news, that they, you know, there is a very strict kind of format where there's 90 seconds and they move on.
Yeah.
Is the takeaway here that, you know, that places like the media companies that are we're talking about, do they need to stretch out and start thinking about different ways to tell these stories and try to get more voices involved in different ways?
I mean, I would love to see that. However, it's not what I would love to see. It's what the ratings do, and it's what it's how the viewers react. So it's not yes, I would love to see that. I would love to see more longer form storytelling as a part of local news, and maybe getting away from all those formulaic, like, oh, it's hot out, let's send three report, you know, it's 95 degrees, let's send a reporter out. And I'm not sure how much value that's adding to folks' lives. Like, maybe that reporter would be adding more value to people's lives if he or she was on a different, more complex story than just it's hot out in Chicago, or at the airport saying it's busy because it is Memorial Day weekend and everyone's traveling. Like, I do think that some changes need to happen. However, I don't know that, I don't know if you'll recall when Carol Marine did that kind of experiment.
Yeah, Channel 2.
Channel 2. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. That was great.
And I'm not sure the viewers, it was great, but did the viewers respond? Did the ratings respond? So it's this interesting kind of dynamic where what needs to be covered isn't always.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? It's a business as much as it is a like a service.
So that's
a toughie, you know, that's above my pay grade. But what I decided, you know, after being in that world for 9 years and in those 9 years, I did get assigned to some pretty important and big stories. And I did have an overall great experience at NBC. I'm not like trying to trash the business or badmouth my most recent employer at all. Like, I had a good experience there. It was really fulfilling for a very, very long time. But what I decided was that, you know, after 9 years there and 13 years in the business, that it was a little on the constraining side for me. And this is what I wouldn't rule out going back to it in the future.
That's what I was going to ask. Is this a project for now, something to be creative? But do you see yourself getting back into broadcast news at some point?
Well, I'm going to see where it goes. My wife has, obviously, this is a financial risk for us. Mm-hmm. And there's not really a business model. There's not like a... Right. You know, I don't have sponsors or anything yet, although that would be awesome if I could get some. We've agreed, you know, we have a 5-month-old now that we've got about enough runway to do this for 6 months and then reassess from there. But based on the response, man, my little video that I posted Sunday night has gotten almost
a million
views. We'll
put it up on our
site.
Yeah, it's so good.
That would be awesome if you could.
Yeah, we will.
I'd love for people to watch it or check out my Facebook page, Anthony Ponce. And, you know, after 6 months, you know, the response has been great this week, and I've got a lot of interest, a lot of people interested in getting involved and listening. And So if I can hold the momentum and deliver a great product every 2 weeks, I'm planning on doing an episode, rolling out an episode every 2 weeks for the next 6 months, then maybe it'll lead somewhere. You know, I don't know exactly where. Maybe it becomes a, permanent thing. Maybe it just leads me to a longer form storytelling career. And maybe I fall flat on my face. Maybe I,
it could be the reboot of Taxi Confessions. You know, you could be the reboot. You could be the guy who takes over the HBO, the old Taxi Confessions where the people
get
in.
You know, a lot of people are asking if it's that, although it's not. I'm not really going for drunk people in the backseat misbehaving on tape. So.
Well, there you go. Anthony Ponce resigned from his position at NBC5 to start the podcast Backseat Rider, where he is now a rideshare driver with Lyft, and he records the stories with passengers. Where can we find the podcast? When are you going to start?
Okay, so the first episode will be rolled out, hoping by the end of August.
Okay.
And you can find it on the iTunes. Just search Backseat Rider. And check me out, like on Twitter, Anthony Ponce TV, and Facebook, Anthony Ponce, P-O-N-C-E. Would love for people to follow this journey along with me.
Well, I'm excited. I've always known you to be a creative person, and I'm excited
you
to
too,
see
man.
What you're doing. So, Anthony Ponce, thanks so much for taking some time out to talk to us tonight, and good luck with Backseat Rider.
Great to talk to you, Justin. Thanks so much.